Okay, let us begin our discussion of Haggadah. The Haggadah, Tavshin Ayin Aleph, probably in the top two books that have the most commentaries on it. I think Haggadah and Pirkei Avos are the two tied in the top. But there's always so much to say. We'll see how as much as we could fit in this year's shiur. Again, I will try everything in the packet in front of you. Those of you who are downloading it, feel free to download. I know it's 28 pages, but feel free to bring it to your seder. There's nothing in here that I mentioned. I don't think that I mentioned before in any of the previous Haggadah shiurim, but maybe we'll touch on one or two that we've mentioned in the past. But as we usually do, we start with the beginning, and we go through and try to give a thought about as many paragraphs as we can in the Seder. Okay, we start off with one or two introductory thoughts. As I told my Talmidim, one is allowed to use these thoughts not only at the Seder. There are many other Seudos of Yantif, Shabbos Haggadah. So one is mutter and allowed and even encouraged that it doesn't only have to be Divrei Torah at the Seder. The Gemara says every meal that we eat should have a Dvar Torah and should be filled with the words of Torah. So we will start off with a thought from Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler, the new Haggadah that I saw this year, came out just on the front page of Rav Dessler's Haggadah. He just has a one-liner where he says he was once, when he was in Yeshiva, Rav Dessler, we know, is the Mashgiach in Gateshead and later the Mashgiach in Panovich. He's buried in Bnei Brak. We quoted him a couple of weeks ago in the Parsha Shir. Rav Dessler was once invited to a Seder. He was invited to somebody's house. He came, come. I don't know if it doesn't seem like he was married yet. So says Rav Dessler, just to give us a hashkafa into how we are supposed to approach this special night. In the second paragraph, L'chora, k'shem she'yefsha lahazmin leben Torah, levakaris yedido letfilat ne'ilav yom ha'kipurim. Would you ever invite somebody, hey, you want to come to my shul for ne'ilah? You want to come? You don't do that. Ne'ilah is such an intense and personal event and life-changing event that you don't just make a decision like, okay, I'll go there, I'll go here. Rav Dessler says the Seder is a transforming, intense experience. And therefore, I don't just say, okay, I'll go there. He wasn't saying, no, I don't want to go to your house. But he was giving the inviter the proper hashkafa into how one should view a Seder. Kach nidbeli, she'efshar lasos inyan bikur me'a Seder ha'mekudash. So too, it's not a visit for the Seder. Ashrei l'misrake izu misader ha-seder. B'panim levavo, we have to make sure we have the proper Seder mentality in our hearts. Yitzias Mitzrayim oses ha-yadus banu. We are going through, as we'll talk about at length, our own Yitzias Mitzrayim. Our own going out of our Mitzrayim. Many point out Mitzrayim are the same letters as Mitzarim, and Mitzar is a border. We try to break through our borders, our Mitzarim, try to break through what we have been in through our lives. Haseder tzarach sheyegayer es pnimiyuso. We have to convert our insides. Sheyatzal l'rishus acheres l'rishus avehemos. We have to be different people before the Seder and after the Seder. So Rav Dessler just gets the ball rolling in terms of how we're supposed to view the Seder. The Seder is like Ne'ilah. The Seder is an intense experience which we have to re-experience every single year. The mitzvah that runs throughout the night, and again by way of introduction, the mitzvah that runs throughout the night, as we know, is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We do a lot of things at the Seder. We do a lot of actions, which we'll talk about. But if you put it all in a context, there are four unique mitzvahs of the night. Two mitzvahs d'oraisa, two mitzvahs d'rabbanan. We do many mitzvahs that are generic. We bench, we do netilas yadayim, we say amosi, the simchas yantif. But there are four unique mitzvahs of this night that we do not have in any other night. Two d'oraisa, sibri yitzias mitzrayim, and the mitzvah of matzah. And two d'rabbanan, the mitzvah of dalakosos, and the mitzvah of maror bizman hazeh. So sibri yitzias mitzrayim is probably the most challenging of the mitzvahs. The Brisker Rav once said, this is the most difficult mitzvah of the entire year. Right? It's easy to eat matzah. Easy to put on tefillin, so to speak. Somewhat easy to keep a proper kavanah. It's easy to do most mitzvahs. Ki'ilu hu yatsa mi Mitzrayim? You have to feel like as if we went out of Mitzrayim? How can we do that? It's very hard. So the Brisker Rav, it's the hardest mitzvah of the year. So Rav Schwab gives us one mushal, one insight to try to help us understand what it means as if we went out. On page 2, in Mayan Beit HaShoeva. Says Rav Schwab, V'chein yish la'ayin on the fifth line. V'mashan omer ba'agadah, lo'as avosinu bilvad gal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, la'afosanu. What exactly is meant? Two or three of the ideas tonight, we've mentioned it Parsha Shirim, but that was in a different context. Says Rav Schwab, Aval be'emes lokeinu, he says, let me explain to you how we should view, leaving Mitzrayim. V'yisbar al pi mashal mimasharon b'gufa adam. Take a human body. Shekiyadua. Shekol b'saro va'atzmosav hei mitzurafim mechalakim ketantanim shemizchalfim tamid. When a person, a baby is born. So, the baby has hands and feet and toes and fingers. And what happens as we get bigger? Our body parts grow with us. And they develop. And they mature. And a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old and a 20-year-old looking down at his hands. Those hands are of a 20-year-old, but those are really the same hands that the 5-year-old had. They look different, it was smaller, it's in a different form, but it's really the same hands. And when a 70-year-old looks at his hands and he sees, what have I been through in my life? Look at these hands, they're his hands now, but they're his hands then also. It's the same hands, it's the same body, the same goof, but it's just in a different form. Says Rav Schwab, all of Klal Yisrael is Guf Echad. We not only span Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, is not only through our generation, but it spans the generations, going all the way back to Yetzias Mitzrayim, going all the way back even to Adam HaRishon. So when we say that we left Mitzrayim, you know what? We did leave Mitzrayim. It's Ki'ilu Hu Yatsami Mitzrayim, but we left. It's the same body. It's just in a different form. That's how we have to try to view ourselves. We are in the same goof. We went through it. We were at Matan Torah. That's Am Yisrael. The institution, the Bria, called Am Yisrael, we span the generations. We're not going to read so much inside, so that it's all here in front of you, so that we could cover as much as we can. But says Rav Schwab at the end, maybe this is even the deeper intention of when the Rasha says, Ma Avoda Zos Lachem, what is this Avoda that you're doing? And he's motzi himself from the klal. What's the deeper idea? The fact that he's motzi himself, he's basically undermining and ruining the whole purpose of the evening. Chayv Adam, kilu hu'atzmi Mitzrayim, you don't think you were part of it? Then Sibur Tzitz Mitzrayim doesn't make sense to you. Because the whole point is that we're part of the Sharsheres of HaMesorah, we're another link on the chain, going back so many thousands of years. And if we view ourselves like that, maybe that could help us. Kilu Yatsmi Mitzrayim. Because my Zayda went through it and I went through it. And my Zayda is me. We're just continuing the chain of Am Yisrael. Says Rav Schwab, Chayv Adam Kilu Hu Yatsmi Mitzrayim. Okay, one final thought related to introductory thought, and that is from the Nesiva Shalom, from the Slanim Arevi. Slanim Arevi points out that there are two evenings during the year where the minhag of Klal Yisrael is for the men to put on a kittel. Two evenings of the year. There are two evenings of the year, says the Nesiva Shalom, that the process of the evening starts off with the word kol. Yom Kippur night starts off with kol nidre. And the process of the Seder starts off the night before. After the Birchas HaMitzvah, which you make a bracha before you do anything, but the action that we're involved in, Kol Chamira V'Chamira. They both start off with Kol. These are the two of the greatest nights of the year for the Jewish people, for every Jew. Says the Nesiva Shalom on the bottom of page 4. V'yesh Lomar, the second paragraph. Dehine gavan lavan mora al daf chalak. Lavan white represents a new page, a new slate, a new me. Shekala gavanim adomo shachar v'chadomek kvarnasta behemeza peula. Every other color, like we spoke about in Daf Yomi this morning, white tefillin are black, but white is the opposite. Every other color reflects something. Ava gavan lavan odo nasa b'muma. It's plain white. Nothing's happened to it. Nothing's there. It's empty. We put on the kittel on these two nights because we could open up a clean slate. We could become new individuals on these two nights. And there's even a difference between the two nights, says the Nesiva Shalom. On Yom Kippur, it's even harder Because on Yom Kippur, we have to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's called Isarusa Dilatata. We have to come after 40 days, and after 10 days, and after Rosh Hashanah, we have to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Pesach night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to join you. I was goel you once, I want to be goel you again. And we can start a new page in our personal and national history. And says the Nesiv HaShalom, why kol? What's the word kol? Kol is gematria 50. 50 symbolizes perfection in achieving greatness, in achieving closeness to Hashem. We always know 49th level of Tumah. Moshe Rabbeinu reached the 49th level of Chachma. You can't reach the 50th because that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, Kaviyachal. But that symbolizes the ultimate in the connection to Hashem. So on these two nights, we could yearn for the 50. On these two nights, we could yearn for greatness. We could yearn for perfection. That's what Yom Kippur is about. That's what the Seder is about. Kol Chamir v'Chamir, Kol Nidrei. These two special nights where we could be Birya Chadasha in this month of Achodesh HaZalachem, in this month of Ischanshus, in this month of blossoming, Chodesh HaAviv. This is the night. This is the night that is all up to us. It's all up to us. The more we put into it, the more we can get out of it. Okay, so we start the Seder. So that was the Kittel. You put on the Kittel before you make Kiddush, so that counts for the Kaddish thought. So Kaddish, we make Kiddush, so we know the first of the Dalet Kosos, and we get into Urchatz. Ask from Shlomo Zalman, page 6. This is from the Haggadah Gedolah Yisrael. It's been around a long time. I got this Haggadah when I was in first grade. How do I know that? Not because I used it in first grade, but because there's an inscription from my first grade Rebbe on the inside cover. Right to the, I know it's from, I don't know when the first year I used it, but they've reprinted it since then. Haggadah Gedolah Yisrael. So there, Shlomo Zalman wonders, we know we have the simonim to start off the Seder. Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, which we mentioned in the past, the beautiful thought from Rabbi Sender and one of his commentators, Svarim. What's the purpose of the Simanim? We know what we're going to do. Just make Kiddush. Wash your hands. We have to announce Kaddish, to have a list to open up, and that's the first page of your Haggadah. So Rabbi Sender says that, imagine you take a trip. You go on vacation. You go on vacation and you wake up in the hotel. Well, first you get to the hotel, they don't have the room for you. So you have to call, you have to wait till somebody checks out. Then you wake up in the morning, you wake up a little late, you call up, you want to go to the museum, and they're closed on Tuesdays, and then you call up the other one, but if you would have booked early. The way to get the most out of a vacation is to plan out every detail beforehand. If you have an itinerary, I'm going to do this first, and I'm going to do this the next day, but we're going to stop for lunch here, and then we're going to make reservations here, and we're going to do this, we're going to do, everything's planned out perfectly beforehand, so every moment is used. And the potential of the vacation is achieved. We have a lot of stops tonight. We have a lot of stops. We want a Kaddish or a Chatz, but we know there's Magid coming up. We know the ultimate goal of Nirtza. We know there's a Hallel, there's a lot going on. But this is our itinerary. Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachas. This is our goal. These are our stops that we're going to make on this special night. And that's why even the Minog, Kaddish Urchatz, and everybody sings it, and they stop where you're up to. Because that's the stop that you're up to then. Kaddish Urchatz, Karpas. Okay, Karpas. Everybody get off, Karpas. But that's how we achieve, because we know we see the greater picture. You can look at where are you going tomorrow. We're excited about it, and we also appreciate the present, where we are and where we've been. That's all of these simanim in general. Rav Shlomo Zalman asks, why are almost all of the simanim in a descriptive way of saying it. Describe it. Rachsa, washing hands. Right? Nirtza, it's even passive. Only two of them are in Lashon Tzivui. Kadesh, which is almost obvious as you can understand, because that's the first one. Make Kiddush, start it! Right? We're already like, oh, what do we do at the Seder? Oh, where you're sitting, what's going on? We're getting everything ready? Start the Seder! Kadesh! Right? We're not supposed to be so late. Start the Seder. But why is the second one? Urchat, swash! It doesn't say tagid. Right? It's why Urchatz? Why is it in Lashon Tzivui? So Shlomo Zalman said, based on the halacha, we're going to have two or three halachic thoughts tonight as well. Shlomo Zalman said, why are we washing our hands here? Which we know we do without a bracha. We're washing our hands because we're about to involve ourselves in a halacha that we generally do not involve ourselves in. This is a halacha that we only did bizman HaMikdash. The Taz, one of the great Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch, even says we shouldn't do it tonight because it's hypocritical. We're doing it one night, and we're not going to do it tomorrow night, and we didn't do it yesterday. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when Tumah and Tara was very relevant, they used to wash their hands before they ate a fruit or a vegetable, because maybe their hands are Tameh, and the fruit and the vegetable are wet, and the Tumah is gonna, they're gonna make the fruit or the vegetable Tameh. Okay, so they used to wash their hands to make sure their hands were Tahar. And that's why we do Urchas before we eat Karpas. Right? That's the reason that we do it. And that's why, just by the way, halachically, the post can point out, you should dafka not use a fork by karpas. Because the whole purpose that we washed our hands was because we were about to touch the vegetable. If we're not going to touch the vegetable, then we didn't have to wash our hands in the first place. So it's the one time a year that potatoes could be a finger food. Right? That's the, I guess French fries are always kind of maybe a finger food. But potatoes, parsley, celery, whatever one uses, dafka should be touched with the hands. So Shlomo Zalman says that's a halacha that we never do the whole year. So people might not be zaris and want to do it. Right, rachsa, we wash it, we always wash for bread. But nobody washes for fruits and vegetables nowadays. That's why it's in Lashon Tzivui. Or chas, wash your hands, wash your hands. Follow this minhag of Klal Yisrael, to follow this halacha. Why do we do it tonight? Because we're remembering what it was like with Zman HaMikdash. We're reliving. Ki'ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim. So that is why we do it, but Shlomo Zalman says maybe that's why it's in a Lashon of Tzivui. Kaddish Urchatz Karpas. Moving right along, Karpas. So we mentioned various thoughts throughout the years on Karpas. A new thought from partly the Kuzari, partly Rav Avram Shur Halakach Falibov in his Haggadah. What's the symbolism of Karpas? The Zohar tells us, he quotes it on line 5, and others far and quote it as well, that in Mitzrayim the two words are Dibur Begalus. That's the phrase of the Zohar. Our Dibur, our power of speech, was in exile, was in Galus. What does that mean? So at least to put a little Nigla understanding on it, it's a Zohar, but to put a Nigla understanding, what does it mean? We didn't have the Torah yet. And our ultimate potential in using our Koach HaDibur is Torah. So if we didn't have the Torah yet, so our Dibur couldn't be achieved yet, our fulfillment of our Dibur. So our Dibur was Begalus. That's what happened in Mitzrayim. Step one. Step two. He doesn't quote it, but the Kuzari tells us. There are four levels of being in the world. There's the lowest level, which is the domain. Those are the inanimate objects. Dirt and rocks. That's domain. The level above is Tzomeach, the growers. We say a tree is alive, but it's really not alive. It's growing. But a tree has feelings. It's alive. It has instincts. A tree is growing. That's Tzomeach. So domain Tzomeach. Above Tzomeach is Chai. That includes the animal kingdom. And then on top is Medaber. Top is Medaber, the ones who speak, and that's people. Says the Kuzari, what does it mean that there's this pyramid of brios of creatures? Every level uses the level under it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. The growers use the soil to grow it, to grow to Hashem. The animals eat the plant kingdom. They eat plants. And people eat animals. Simchas Yontif, Karbanis, making brachas. So each level uses the one under it in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. That's the Kuzari. Now Rav Avram Shor puts it all together. When Bnei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, they didn't have the Torah yet. They couldn't be Medabrim yet. They couldn't be fully on that level because they didn't have the Torah. Dibur was Begalus. If Dibur was Begalus, they couldn't reach their potential. So there was no difference between them and the animals. They were on the same level as Chai. They weren't Medabrim yet. They didn't have the Torah. Says Rav Avram Shor. So really what was only appropriate for them to eat, to take part in? The domeim and the tzomeach. That's karpas. Karpas, we take a vegetable and we dip it into salt water. Salt and water are both domeim. At the beginning of the process, we're about to start Magid. We're about to start the journey, the Exodus. Going from Mitzrayim where Dibur was Begalus. Going all the way out till we reach in 50 days from now. Ma'an Torah. But we start off with Karpas, where we take the two domains, and we say, this is a dome, we take two domains, and we have a Tzomeach, and we partake of it, as if to show, this is where we were. This is where we started with. That's a Karpas one. He says in the second bottom line, not sure exactly where to go with this, Karpas is Gematria Shas. Shas is Shasa Pasma Melech Tocha. You have to be ready to persevere even with just salt water to learn Shas. Okay, you can look at that. 60 Masechtos in Shas, Samach Perech, not exactly 60, 63, but that's on the bottom. But that's his main Karpas Vart, the Domim and the Somim. Okay, we're almost up to Magid. So, Kadesh, we spoke about the Kittel, Urchatz, Karpatz, Yachatz. Just one final halachic thought related to Yachatz. There is a machlokes rishonim when one is supposed to do Yachatz, when one is supposed to break the matzahs. Machlokes between the Rambam and the Ritva. Minhag of Klal Yisrael is to break it right away at the beginning of the Seder, before Magid. That is the minhag of Klal Yisrael for two reasons. We break it then. Why do we break it then? Number one, because we want to create lechem oni. Poor man's bread, a poor man never has whole pieces. So we want to create lechem oni. So we break the matzah. Number two, also, lechem oni, the Gemara also says, lechem sha'onin alav dvarim harbe. Lechem that you say a lot of things when you have the matzah in front of you. Right, the whole maga, we're going to have the matzah in front of us. Sometimes it's going to be covered, sometimes not covered. There's no magic. You don't have to check your Haggadah. Oh, uncover the matzahs. Whenever we lift up a coast, we cover the matzahs. That's the trick. V'hisha amda, you cover the matzahs. L'fichach, you cover the matzahs. That's the trick. Every other time, the matzah is uncovered. It's only when we lift up the cup that we cover the matzahs connected to, like Kiddush, like we always have, the matzahs and the challah covered. So, those are the two reasons why we break it. But why do we, that's why we break it earlier. But there's another reason, suggest in Itziv, why we break it earlier. We discussed this in the Shir a couple of weeks ago in Hilcha Shabbos on Shabbos afternoon. The Itziv and Itshuva on page 9, in the Meshav Davar, has the following Shaila. He was asked by his son. Doesn't say which son. The first four lines of the Shuvah are on the previous page. I didn't give it to you. But he was asked, what happens if somebody walks in to Shalosh Shudis and there's only one roll? Should they cut it in half and then thereby have two slices for Lecha Mishnah? Because we know we're supposed to have Lecha Mishnah for Shalosh Shudis as well. Or is it better to have the Shalem? You have one Challah, so use the one Challah. That was the Shiloh that was asked, because his son said, people cut the Shalosh Shudis, it's a little late, there was no more, there's one roll left. So Netziv says, it depends. Depends. If when you walk into Shalosh Shudis, you see the whole item in front of you, then you can't split it. It's Bala Fanecha Kishalim, then you use the Shalim, that overrides. But if it's two pieces already, then fine, that's two. That's wonderful. That's the Netziv. The last few lines in the Tshuva, he says, and this is the pshat of Yachatz. What do you mean? Why don't we break the matzahs later? Why don't we break it earlier? Especially according to the minhag of Klal Yisrael, which most don't hold of. But there are some that follow the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam only has two matzahs at the Seder. After you break one, you're left with one whole and one broken. The minhag of Ashkenazim is to have, and even of some Sephardim is to have three matzahs. So you break one, you're still left with Lecha Mishnah. But you want whole, what do you make an hamotzi on 1.5 or even 2.5? Says the Netziv you're allowed to, because you broke it so long ago, it's considered bala fanecha, like a broken piece. And therefore it's not considered like you broke it. If you would break it right beforehand, that would be a chisaron in shlemus. You have a whole one, you're about to make a hamotzi, you're breaking it, it's inappropriate. But if you break it 2 hours beforehand, besides the other reasons of lechem oni and the poor man, lechem nolam dorim harbe, besides those reasons, suggest the Netziv, this is another reason why we break it earlier, so it's considered bala fanecha, it comes to us already broken, and therefore it's no problem. Okay. We get into Magid. Magid starts off, Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya, page 10 and 11. The Malbim is from the Haggadah Asapra Kevodcha, which is part of the set of the Karasal Shabbos Oneg and Elahim Moadai, which I quoted from before. Also has a Haggadah Asapra Kevodcha. Very quotes from the Malbim. Last lines of Halach Ma'anya, as we know, Hashata Hacha, where it's bold-faced, L'shana Abba B'Arad Yisrael. Now we're here, L'shana Abba B'Yerushalayim, Hashata Avdi, L'shana Abba B'nei Chorin. What exactly is this hope doing here? We know at the end of the Seder, we end everything off. We end Yom Kippur off, L'shana Abba B'Yerushalayim, we end the Seder off, that's another connection. When do we ever say L'shana Abba B'Yerushalayim any other time during the year? Besides the end of Yom Kippur and the end of the Seder. Right, so those are the only two times that right. So there's another connection. Add that to the Kittelvart of the Nesiva Shalom. Also, L'shana Abba B'Yerushalayim. We can have our personal geula, which is reflected by that line. But as the Mabim, what are we davening for right at the beginning of the Seder? Hashata Abdi, what are we expressing? What are we expressing? Again, every line of Halach Ma'anya has a problem with it. Not a problem, it's obviously something to ask. Well, we're really inviting, the door is closed. Right? Halach Ma'anya, the Chal of Asana, our fathers ate this. Everything our brothers did, ate Chal. Anyway, every line. So here's the last lines. So the Mabim asks, what exactly are we hoping for? Says the Malbim gives an answer, which he wrote about 150 years ago, but it's for the generations, especially like ours. The message that we're trying to express to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the following, explained by a mashal. This is a mashal of a king who has a son who is rebelling against the king. The king throws him out, and the son, obviously, is far away. He's very upset. He can't handle working, can't handle doing anything. So he sends a message back to the king. Please, 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 I want to come back. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. I'm on page 10 and 11. I'm going to do better. So the king says, fine, comes back. Comes back, and obviously, same cycle happens, and he misbehaves, and he rebels against the king. And the king says, I want to come back, I want to come back, I want to come back. The king is like, not so fast. Let me figure this out. How could I figure out a way to see if he's really truthful? He's really amistic. He says, I'm going to send him all that he needs where he is. And I'll see. If he still says, I want to come back, I want to come back, then I'll know he really loves me. And he really is not, it's not just because he's pressured because he can't handle it, but because he loves me and he misses me. But after I send him everything where he is, if I don't hear anything from him anymore, I'll know that he's just having tsaras. And that's why he's complaining. But right when the tsara leaves, he doesn't have any feelings for me. Says the Malbim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw us out of Eretz Yisrael. He threw us into Galus. We deserved it. We rebelled against him. We rebelled against each other. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you come back. After 70 years, he took us back. And we're back. And then what do we do? Again, he gives us a chance. And then we got thrown out. So you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I'll give you some things. Zos asset, where it's underlined on page 11. Ashachar oso me'avodah kasha ulam el armon lo ashev oso. I'll let you out. And again, this applies in certain generations and not others. I'll give you some stuff in Galus. And even this applies, obviously, in literal Galus. But even, Baruch Hashem, those of us who have the chus of living in Eretz Yisrael, we're still in Galus. Right? I'll let you have the kotel back. And I'll let you have this land and this and that. Let's see if you're happy. Let's see if you say, okay, great, wonderful. And then you don't call the king anymore and you don't bother. What do you say? No, no, no. That's the test. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you want to come back more or are you happy where you are now? It's like that king that gave his son all the stuff when he's out of the palace. Does he still want to come back to the palace? Because if I don't hear from him anymore, it must be that he's happy. He doesn't really love me. At the beginning of the Seder, when we all have been sitting in Galus for so many years, says the Malbim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting to see if we're really going to try to feel Kilu Yatsmi Mitzrayim, but realize we went out of Mitzrayim, but there's so much more that we need now. We start off the Seder, Lashana Habab Yerushalayim, that's our attitude. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever you gave us, we're happy and we thank you for it. But we're not Sameach B'chalkenu. In one area, we're not allowed to be Sameach B'chalkenu in Ruchnius. In Ruchnius, in personal Ruchnius, and nationally. We don't have Malchus Beis Tavi, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. All the Tsaris that we have. All types of tsaros will be removed once we have a Beis HaMikdash, and the inspiration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be throughout the land. That's what we start off, says the Malbim. Hashata Hacha, Lashana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael. We start off with that attitude, reflecting that idea. Okay, moving right along. Manishtan. We've said many things about Manishtan in the past. Gave you one this year from the Klei Yakar. Page 12 and 13, in the Sefer Olos Ephraim, is quoted in the Osos HaTorah, in the Haggadah of Osos HaTorah, quotes from the Olos Ephraim. Manishtana Halayla Hazeh. Says the Klei Yakar, really what we are asking is one question, and we're giving four answers. Manishtana Halayla Hazeh Mikol HaLeilos, ? Why is this night, why is this galus so worse than any other galus that we've ever been through? And let's keep in mind that the Klei Yakar wrote this in Prague 500 years ago. The Klei Yakar was the chief rabbi in Prague after the Maharal. So says the Bechle Yakar, why is this galus? Why is this night so much worse? Manishtan alayla zemikol from all the other galios. Four reasons. Four reasons what makes us unique and four areas where we can all improve, says the Bechle Yakar. Number one, and again, he's using his poetic Jewish license here. So let's give him some room. Hasiba harishonahi, the first reason he says, Heder hashalom. He said there's so much fighting amongst us. There's a lack of peace. So much machlokas. We haven't learned our lesson. The schin and schinam is still. What's chametzu matzah? He says symbolically, chametz has a lot of different ingredients in it, symbolizing a lot of different factions, a lot of different parts. Chametz symbolizes pirut, symbolizes there's so many. Matzah is simple. Matzah is unified. You have his flour and water. That's it. No honey, no this, no that. That's it. So why is it, number one? Because there's so much fighting. Other galios, shebachol halilos, anochlim chametz u'matzah. Sometimes we're fighting with each other, but sometimes we're not fighting with each other. Sometimes we can be all together. Halayla hazeh, says the Bechle Yakar, it should say kulo chametz. But you know what? Like the Gemara says sometimes, if it's so painful, we use the opposite, lashon sagi nahar. Like somebody who can't see in the Gemara is called somebody who's sagi nahar. When the Gemara says in Megillah that why were the Jews chayiv annihilation in the times of Achashverosh? What does the Gemara say? Why were the Sonein Shel Yisrael, the enemies of the Jews? That means the Jews. But we can't even say that. This is the Kliyaka. You can't even say that. There hasn't been a moment. There hasn't been a generation where there hasn't been fighting amongst the Jewish people themselves. So you can't even say Kulo Chametz. You just say Kulo Matzah. Reason number one, lack of Shalom. Right, one of the al-chaits, right? We say sinas chinam because we hate the people. We don't just hate the opinions they have. Number two, siba shnia. What's the second reason this galus is so unique and terrible? Hamamon, the focus that we have on our assets, the focus that we have on getting as many nechasim as we can. Hainu, she'enam lehutim achar hamamon u'mistapka b'minei yirakos. Ba'amanam halayla hazeh kulo mara remez la'asifas hamamon v'amusaros hamarara chayi ba'alav. What does he say? On all other nights of the year, sometimes we're running after things and sometimes we're not. But we know, as it says in Pirkei Avos, marba nechasim marba da'aga, the more assets, the more investments, the more that we have, the more that's on our head, the more that we can't live. Our lives become so bitter because it's connected to everything that we own. I just saw last night from Rabbi Cordoza, he writes in one of his svarim, one of his books that I have, that there's no way to say in the Hebrew language, I have. What, how do you, yeshli? There is to me. That's a very different than I have. Because Lashon HaKodesh is teaching us something. A person doesn't have anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu happens to give it to you for a little bit. Yeshli! I have, in English there's an I have. He even added in the same paragraph, he says, why is it? He says, in the olden days, we had rugaluch and kichaluch and krepsluch, kremsluch. It's all about the other person. And now everything is bisli, and the knee, and all the lees, and the egozees. He says, it was all connected. He says, everything, he said, there's some underlying message there. But either way, there's no I have. Why? Because we're not supposed to think that I have anything. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more we're running after it, the more bitter our lives is, because that's what we're chasing. Halayla zeh maror. It's more, we're just so focused on the items. Third reason, and these are all three areas where we have to improve. The third reason, he says on the bottom, Siba Shlishis hi hata'avos. Physical pleasures. We all aren't ready to be no moser nefesh. And live a little uncomfortably and to push ourselves. What does dipping symbolize? Dipping symbolizes, you know, if you have a great meal, you have a lot of dips, you have a lot of hors d'oeuvres, you have a lot of, you're dipping this, dipping here, all the hatibo b'mashke, who remes l'vali hataiva, ki darkam shabali hataiva, turning over, tishiyu teva malachila gasa, you whet your appetite with 10 different things, that's what dipping symbolizes. Other nights of the year, other galios, we dipped a little bit. Now we're dipping shtei pa'amim. There hasn't been so much affluence like our generation, says the Bechle Yakar 500 years ago. And finally, Hasiba Haravius, the fourth reason, is gaiva, is the focus on ourselves. What's at the center of our world? We are at the center of our world, and not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not Torah-centric. It's egocentric. It's our, so we're focused on ourselves. What's the most important thing in life? Me! It's a bisli. Says the Klei Yakar, those are the four. Manishtan alayos mikol alelos? Number one, we have to reacquaint ourselves and refocus in areas of shalom, in areas of being sameach b'chalkeinu, what we have, in areas of being happy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not having to have every comfort in the world. And finally, being focused with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at our center. Manishtan. Moving right along to Avadam Ayinu, Leparah B'Mitzrayim. We were servants in Egypt, we were slaves in Egypt. This is a kiyum of the halacha of maslo b'gnus u'misayim b'shvach. We do both the physical and the spiritual gnus. Rabbi Lamb in his Agada, which came out last year, Rabbi Lamb notes, it's interesting that in the Torah, as well as in the Haggadah, but especially in the Torah, in the whole story of Shmos, Paro's name is not mentioned. Paro is the name of the position. Paro is like president. Right? Vayakam Melech Chadash. Paro. Paro is the president. Right? Avimelech. What, there were 10 Avimelechs? Are they all the same person? No. Avimelech was the name of the position. So Paro was the name of a position. Why isn't Paro's name mentioned? Why don't we know Paro's name? Paro the Third. Whatever. Paro, whatever the Egyptian names were. Torah doesn't say that. Torah doesn't give the name. Says Rabbi Lamb, in classic fashion. I heard an interesting answer, left side. Had his name been provided by the Torah, historians and psychologists and novelists would have speculated about him, especially his childhood, suggesting probable reasons for his atrocious behavior. He was weaned too early or too late. He had a harsh father, or his mother was overprotective. All excuses for why he was such a terrible person. That's what they would have done. They started psychoanalyzing Paro. Oh, you know what? He was abused. He was abused. He wasn't abused. He was overprotective, not protected. You know what the Torah says? It doesn't matter. For his own personal explanations for his behavior, okay, but regarding, says Rabbi Lamb, no matter what his upbringing, we ought judge a person, especially a leader, by his or her actions and insist upon accountability. The explanations of the causes of a person's behavior may be of legitimate concern to a therapist treating a moral political monster, but to the masses of his victims that have of no consequence whatsoever. He's Paro. It doesn't matter who he was. We know who he was, and he's going to be judged for who he was. That's Paro, whichever person he was. There's no excuses. There's explanations, but no excuses. That's Rabbi Lamb. Paro is just Avadam Ayinu LeParo, whoever that Paro was. And then we get to the story. Maisa, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon. So we have the story with the five great rabbis sitting in Bnei Brak, not too far from here. A couple of famous questions on the story. Number one, why were they all in Bnei Brak? We know Bnei Brak was Rabbi Akiva's town. Why did they all come to Bnei Brak? Rabbi Akiva was not the eldest of the rabbis. So what were they doing all in Bnei Brak? All came to Bnei Brak, Rabbi Akiva's town. We've spoken in the past. Other answers, number one. Number two, a second question that I didn't see in other Haggadahs, and that is, it sounds like, as you read the story, it sounds like, well, first and second question, why weren't the students with them? You would think if there were five great rabbis discussing Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, they would want to have their students there to, like, participate or listen with a student. Why were the students outside? And a third question, we're on page 15, is it sounds like the students just barged in. They were talking, sounds like they barged in without their hair. It sounds like there was some emergency. He can't create Bashal Shachris. Says Rabbi Lau, former chief rabbi in the new Haggadah that came out this year, page 15 and 16, from Rabbi Lau's Haggadah. We're going to have two thoughts. Says Rabbi Lau, we have to understand the historical perspective. What was going on? He says this is his suggestion. These Rabbanim lived a little bit after Churban Abayis, in the age of Bar Kokhba, in the age when the Jewish people were trying to figure out whether they were going to rebel against the Romans or not. And there was a Jew named Bar Kokhba whose real name was Bar Kuziba. But Rabbi Akiva was sure that he was Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva believed he was Mashiach, so Rabbi Akiva renamed him Bar Kokhba, based on the Pasuk, Darach Kochav Miyakov. He named him Bar Kokhba because he believed in him. Says Rabbi Lau, you know what must have happened this night? This must have been about that time. And Rabbi Akiva says to himself, the night of Chayrus is a great time to discuss our Chayrus. And he invited all of the Rabbanim of the time to discuss what we're going to do, what's going to be the future of the Klal Yisrael. Are we going to go? Are we not going to go? Are we going to follow Bar Kokhba? What are we going to do? And that's why they were all there. And that's why the Talmidim weren't there. You know what? Maybe they discussed Sibritis Mitzrayim till Chatzos. But now the second half of the night, they're figuring out what to do. That's why the great rabbis are going to make the decision, not the students. That's why the students were out. They weren't there. Maybe they were there earlier. They weren't there anymore. And they were discussing it the entire night. Mesaber Mitzias Mitzrayim. They were talking about going out of their own Mitzrayim. Until the Talmidim came. Says Rabbi Lav, the Talmidim were probably outside just waiting for the green light. What's going on? What's going on? Are we going to fight? What are we going to do? Until the Talmidim came and said, Higiyazman Kriyashma. What's Kriyashma? Kriyashma is the semel, is the representation of Mesiras Nefesh. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. It's time for Kriyashma Shel Shachris. Shachris means Geula. We just spoke about Lila meaning Galus. It's time to be Moser Nefesh for our Geula. Higiyazman Kriyashma Shel Shachris, says Rabbi Lau. That's what they were saying. That's why they came in. And they believed it. Until the downfall of the Bar Kokhba revolt. But that's what must have been happening, says Rabbi Lau. In this story, why they all came to Rabbi Akiva? Because he was the biggest supporter of Bar Kokhba. He was the biggest supporter. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. One of the rabbis there was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, page 17 now. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This paragraph is the only paragraph in the Haggadah not about the mitzvah per se of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the unique mitzvah which applies only the night of Pesach, but it is about the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is a mitzvah every day and every night of our life. The reason that we say the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema in Shema is not because of the parasha of Tzitzis. There's no mitzvah to mention Tzitzis every day, originally. But it's that last sentence, the last pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeiti Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. That's why we say the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema, day and night. So we put a paragraph in the Haggadah about Zechira to contrast it to Sipur. Many differences between Sipur and Zechira, but it's really the foil, and to see the difference between the two. In the Haggadah Lekach Tov, quotes from the Saber from Kelm, another idea. What is Zechira doing here? And to appreciate what Zechira is about, he asked the Kasha of the Ramban. The Ramban at the end of Bo. We discussed this in the past. Why are there so many mitzvahs? Zechir L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. So many. If you think about it, there are at least 10. Maybe more. Kiddush, Pidyon HaBen, Shabbos, Yontif, Tfilin. So many mitzvahs. Zechir L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. So many mitzvahs. What's the next? What's in second place? Which event in Jewish history comes in runner-up? How many mitzvahs do we have to remember? Maimon Har Sinai. Maybe one. Berachas HaTorah. Maybe that's a mitzvah. How many mitzvahs do we have to remember the Adon HaKavod?
One.
How many mitzvahs do we have to remember? What other event do we talk about? Right? Any other major event? Kriyas Yam Suf. Right? There's no mitzvah. I sing Os Yashir every day. But so, what is it about Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why is there such a focus? And again, one night a year, we need to talk about it at length. Last year, we mentioned the Vart about the Sipur adds to the Zechira, and Zechira adds to the Sipur. But what is it about Zechira? Says the Saba from Kelm, of Simcha Zissel. He gives a mashal, third line. Hinei. Kasher anu mizbonenim besovei vosana bolameinu. If we think about our world, anu mavchinim b'shnei sugei dvarim she'yesh lam yakar v'chashivus. We could discern in our world two types of valuable items. Two types of valuable items. Kesef v'zav, one is gold and silver. That's valuable. Gold and silver. And another valuable item is bread and water. It's also valuable. Lechem u'mayim. And if someone is not focusing, they might be able to get the misimpression that's what's more valuable? Well, obviously, gold and silver cost a lot more. Cost a lot more. You want to buy bread and water, it's free. Just go and ask for a cup of water. You go into a store or something, they make you pay for a cup of water. You're like, what do you, I'm not pay for a cup of water. Right? So, bread and water, so obviously, it's not so valuable. Gold and silver, that's really valuable. Bread and water is not so valuable. But we know deep down that that's not true. We know that bread and water is the ultimate in value. It's just that it's so common. And there's so much of it that we take it for granted. He says, just like, what about air? What if you could only breathe in certain places in the world? Kadosh Baruch Hu put air in the whole world. We take it for granted. Right? You only have to go into a place where you have somebody's claustrophobic and all of a sudden they realize that not all places are created equal. But says the Rav Simcha Zissel, sometimes what's so common is so valuable. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you so much of it. The most defining event in our history is Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we were nationally born. That's our bread and water. And that's why there are so many mitzvahs of it. Mechira manamuch shalechem v'mayim, where it's underlined, nosinam namakom mutaus. Right, it can be a mistake. People can think enem chashuv and they're not chashuv. Avol ha'emes hi she'adarav hi enosenes. It's just the opposite. Hamachir ha'namuch noveya mishchichu samarbei. It's so low, their price, because there's so much of it. If you didn't have anything, so you know what the litmus test is? You don't have anything. And you'd pay a lot of money for something. What would you pay for? If you have nothing, pay for bread and water. That's how you discern what the basics are, what the necessities are. Says, Yetzias Mitzrayim is a necessity. Mitzvah and mitzvah and mitzvah and mitzvah, because that's the defining moment, and that's what we talk about even in the Seder, about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Derech Agav, as we know, if you haven't mentioned it in the Seder before, it's always kedai to mention that this paragraph is the end of a story in Maseches Brachos, Daf Chav Zayin and Chav Ches. This is the end of the story where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed the new Rosh Yeshiva, or he was supposed to be appointed because Rabbi Gamliel was removed. They kept Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and they told Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, please, you want to be the Rosh Yeshiva? And he says, he should say, this is what he's been waiting for all his life, this is his dream job, he's the chief rabbi. What does he say? I have to go ask my wife. I have to go ask my wife. Okay? Goes to ask his wife. He's going to be out of the house a lot more. He's got to go ask his wife. Goes to ask his wife, and his wife says, what do you need this for? They're going to fire you tomorrow. So she says, but it's better to be a glass kli for one day than a cheres kli all my life. And then she says, but you don't have a white beard? Comes in the Haggadah. Overnight he grew a white beard, even though he was only 18, and he says, I am like 70 years old. That's the background. It's always nice, if you never did that at a Seder before, take out the Gemara and Brachas and read the beginning of the story. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was 18, turned 70 overnight. Okay. We continue now with Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, and the Dalet Banim. Said many thoughts about this in the past. What's the Keneged? What's the difference between the different sons? Focus one idea here from C. Pesach Frank, also from a new Haggadah put out from the Gedolei Yerushalayim. So C. Pesach Frank, or this is Yerushalayim Sonnenfeld, Shlomo Zalman, and I saw it this year. Says of Svi Pesach Frank, again, the question that many ask is, what's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha? They both seem to exclude themselves. They're both saying it. So we mentioned in the past, or Melech Shechter's Vart, about mentioning Shem Hashem. But suggests Rav Svi Pesach Frank, really the Chacham and the Rasha are asking the same question. But it's coming with a different attitude. And you could see the different attitude from the answer that we give them. But they're really asking the same question. Vehine says, where it's underlined, says the Haggadah, Arba Sakoso Shonu Shosim Balela Seder Hamuchuvanos Kenegar Arba Lashonu Shogu'ula Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiva Lishtosam. As we said before, Dalet Kosos, which plays such a major role to Seder, is a mitzvah derabanan. So much of what we do have to say there is at most derabanan, and a lot of it is minhag. It's a little Seder plate. It's a little Seder plate. It's all minhag. They have a beitza and a zroa. Okay, it's minhagim quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but it's still minhag. We do it. We follow minhagim. If we don't follow minhagim, it might be a violation of Los Asur, says the Rambam. But there's so much minhag. And there's so many dinim derabanan. Imagine what a Seder would look like just reading the Torah. Imagine, it'll be so short and so lit. Not so short, but so much less. So really, what both the Chacham and the Rasha are asking is, what's with all these mitzvahs derabanan? Why is there so much more? Is this really a major area of life that I have to listen to? Give me the Torah. Give me the Torah. Right, what's the lashon? Ma'idus v'achukim asher tziv Hashem Elokeinu eschem. Even the Chacham says, tell me what God said. Did God say to do all this? Ma'avodezos lochem. What's the Rasha saying? What are you rabbis doing here? What are you adding on so much more? It's enough what the Torah says. That's what they're asking. And what do we answer the Chacham? What do we answer the Chacham? We answer the Chacham. In Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. Another Din Derabanan. Meaning what? We tell the Chacham it's part of life. It's part of Yadus. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Lo Sasser, from what they tell you, Yaminu Smol. El Shachacham, Lo'or Kol Zos Yitachin. Look at the fifth, next paragraph. Sheshnei Abanim L'Sheila Achaz L'Davar Echa Niskavnu. Both sons are asking the same thing. Shneim shoalim al osam maisim shenirim kilu heim eis Hashem. They're both saying, these are not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umishem kach lumoser yechashu b'neim. They're extra. Even the Chacham. But the Chacham isn't asking because he is pestering. He's not heckling. He wants to know, what are all these extra laws? That's why he details. Ma ha'edus v'achukim asher tziva Hashem alokeinu eschem. Shemlokeinu, it's our God, I understand, but what are these extra laws? Tell me what God said. And the Rasha says, Mavor Zalachem, what are you doing? Right, I gotta say it like that. Right? So Elasha Chacham, Biosa Gam Sadik, Haribokha Lashon Arumim, he quotes that Klomer, Mavakash Niladas, Mayim Advar, Osam Tziva Hashem, Osam Chavezan Lishmar. But you answer him, Bnei Yakar, Akol Me'is Hashem and Hashemayim, Ubakol Mechuyavim Anu Ke'echad. And you teach him, Ein Raftir Nachar Pesach. Right, which is that's the Minhag Shel Yisrael also. You don't need anything after the Pesach. Maybe just water. Harashalu mazos, shol azos ha'shela, avalo b'chachma, ela b'chutzpah. Ma avod azos lachem, what are you doing? He's saying, what are these laws? Give me the derises. I'll be at Stuki. Don't have to be all these extra laws. So says, no. Torah Shebal Peh, the Rabbanan are part of what we do, and you're not part of it, so haki et shinav. You know, where you can't take the Doraisas, not the Drabanans. As many have pointed out, every sect of Judaism in history that has started to get rid of some Drabanans are no longer with us and no longer part of Judaism. Right? The first thing that the Reform movement got rid of was Yom Kumpurkan. They say to Yom Kumpur. Nobody says it anyway, right? And nobody understands it, they said. So what are we saying it for? What do you need Yom Kumpurkan for? And that led to driving on Shabbos. And that led to patrilineal descent? Yes. You get rid of a minhag. You get rid of a din derabanan. Get rid of a nothing. That's, obviously, if there's a minhag against the halacha, then you could change it. But can't get rid of any little thing. The Dalet Banim are asking the same questions. Okay, so we get through the four sons. Again, there's a lot more by the four sons. We mentioned years ago, I think in... I don't remember which year, but the Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's beautiful thought that the four sons are really four stages of our own development. We start off as a Eni Yodei Lishol, it's a baby, and then we get to Tom, what's this, what's that, that's 7, 8, 6, 7, 8, and then you get older, you get to the rebellious stage, Rasha, then you get to the Chacham, which is the independent stage. Rav Aaron has that in his Sefer, the warmth and the light. But that's, so we don't want to label anybody. Okay, weiter. Yochel Me'eresh Chodesh. Yochel Me'eresh Chodesh. I might have thought that the mitzvah of Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim starts on Rosh Chodesh. Tam Alomer B'Yom Ahu. No, only on that day. You might think Mibod Yom, even a little bit before Tam Alomer B'Avur Zeh. No, only when you have Matzim are in front of you. The Ramah quotes the Minhag this Shabbos of saying the Haggadah up until after Dayenu, Shabbos afternoon. The Vilna Gaon argues there based on this paragraph. It says Yochel Me'eresh Chodesh is not true. There's no point of saying the Haggadah beforehand. So what would the Ramah? The Ramah also knows the Haggadah. The Ramah would answer, you're not saying that God's a Torah, see what he's Mitzrayim, you're just getting ready for it. Just getting ready. Right? Just like we spoke about by the Megillah. Could be you have a night Megillah and the morning Megillah on Purim. But this is the paragraph. The question is asked, what's the message? What's the, you would have thought, no. It has to be tonight. For whatever reason, we would have thought that Sipur could start earlier, which we don't know. We never have a Havamina that Sukkos could start earlier. We never have a Havamina that you could do any mitzvah before a Yom, you can't blow shofar on 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. So there, that's a problem. What's the Havamina? But whatever the Havamina was, what's the Maskana? Right? Why do we... What's the Chiddush of... No, it's got to be this night. Only when you have Matzah Mar in front of you. Says Rabbi Sender, in one of the commentators, Haggadahs, page 19. Says Rabbi Sender, this night is about education. This night is about educating ourselves, and especially educating our children. And the best type of education is when there are props. Show and tell. We are visual learners. So it's easier when you're trying to understand the Gemara, you see a picture. You gotta, right? Certain Masechtas, you need the picture book. You need the Pirush Chai. Can't learn Erev or Sukkah. We can't. Masechtas Chulin's coming up this summer at Daf Yomi. The Adam. We can't just read Rashi. Right? We need visual. Right? In front of us, give me a picture. The best way to educate ourselves is when we see in front of us. That's the best way to educate. When we have a Seder, the whole point of a Seder plate. What do we have a Seder plate for? What do we need the Seder plate? The answer is, it's part of this idea. B'shoa she'eitz, everything's here. Everything's in front of us. Shira can only be said on something tangible. On the night of Pesach, when we are offered a songs for praise for the loving kindness, which was shown to our forefathers. We need something tangible in front of us. In this way, we expect to have the greatest impact on the child. The Matzah Mara placed before him bridged the gap between the story of yesterday and the reality of what is happening today. Got to have something in front of us to grab onto in order to teach. Okay. So now we move on. Mitzchila of the Avodah Zarah. Next paragraph. Mitzchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayavaseinu. Our forefathers were of the Avodah Zarah. This is also a kiyum and a mitzvah. And the Gemara says in Psachim, we have to be maskil, begnusu, misayim, b'shvach. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel there, do you start off with the physical or the spiritual gnus? And we paskin like both of them. The lowly state that we were in physically and spiritually. So we started off before, we said, avadam ayinu lapar b'mitzrayim. That's the physical bondage we were in. And this paragraph is a kiyum of the other shita, we were spiritually in bondage. Mitchila avdoy avodah zarah hayo v'seinu. The Rambam even writes in Hilchas Avodas Kochavim, even Avram Avinu himself was an avodah zarah. Avram was an avodah zarah before he left it and converted. But what's the language? The language is Mitchila avdoy avodah zarah hayo v'seinu v'achshav kervanu hamakom la'avodaso. Hashem has brought us close to His avoda. Here's the Chafetz Chaim. What does that mean? He's brought us close to His avoda. He brought us His avoda. Kervanu amako. Kervanu amako avodaso. He didn't just make us His avoda. He was makariv us. What's the emphasis of kervanu amako avodaso? Says the Chafetz Chaim. Life as a Jew is not just about staying away from evil, sur meira, guarding ourselves. That's not the, obviously we have to do that. That's not the point of life though. Rabim svurim, many think, 20 and 21, she'ikar misimaso shel ha'yehudi, hili himana me'averis. Many think that the ultimate purpose of a Jew is to not do sins. Ha'neshama she'nitna bo tahara isa yishla lashkiyach shel tama. As long as I don't impurify myself, that's the goal of life. The goal of life is not to sin. That's obviously a major part of life. There are more los asays than there are asays. That's true, says the Chafetz Chaim. And he's not going to argue on that. So we have to make sure that we give our neshama back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it is tahor. Ach yesh lanu ladas, shelo l'shem kach nishlachnu la'olam. But we also have to realize that's not the ultimate purpose. That's step one. The ultimate purpose is to get close to Hashem. The ultimate purpose is kervanu hamakom lavudaso. Not just to sur meira, but do much more than that. And the Chofetz Chaim gives a mashal, kedarko bakodesh. There was a businessman, there was a merchant who lost his fortune, he lost his money, and he's down on his luck. One of his friends comes over to him and says, "Nope, I'll give you a loan. Here's 10,000 rubles. 10,000 ruble, take it. Okay, get back on your feet. Wonderful." 6 months later, this malve, this lender, meets the person he gave the money to. And he says, "No, how you doing?" He says, "Great." He says, "I know, 6 months later." He reaches into his pocket. He takes out the 10,000 ruble. And he says, "Here. Here's your 10,000 ruble back. And let me tell you something. It's the same exact money that you gave me. I had it in my pocket. I didn't let it out of my sight, out of my possession. The entire 6 months, I kept it for you. I didn't want to lose it. And I gave it back to you exactly as you gave it to me." Says the malve, "You fool. You think I gave you the money to keep in your pocket? You think I gave you the money to guard? To make sure you give it back to me as is? I gave it to you to invest. I gave it to you to get back on your feet. To be an independent person. And eventually you give it back to me." Says the Chafetz Chaim, a lot of times we go through life and we have our kochos and we keep them in our pockets. And we don't flourish. And we don't push ourselves. And we don't invest ourselves with everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Because we're so worried. We have to be worried. But that's not the goal of life. The goal of life is to produce. And the goal of life is to be constructive. And to think where we can help. All the while making sure that we are not violating. But Shmira is step one. Sir Meira, David HaMelech said. But then he said, Asay Tov. Sir Meira, Asay Tov. Baki Shalom V'Ratfeyu. Accomplish something. So, we were over the Avodah Zarah, but Kervanu Amakom Avodaso. It's a Kirva. Come close to me, Hashem wants. That's the goal of life. Okay, the next thought. I think it was one of the two thoughts that we had in a partridge here a couple of months ago, but it's something worthwhile to repeat. Now the next paragraph of Baruch Shomer: blessed is God who keeps his promise, not for now. Well, God is so great that he keeps his promise, but if you don't keep your promise, then you're a liar. So what's the real blessing? But in that paragraph we say, blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who kept his promise of the Bris Bein Avasarim. Thank you. The Bris Bein Avasarim, where he promised Avram Avinu that his children will be a stranger in a strange land, but eventually what will happen? I will punish those who persecute them and subjugate them. And they will go out with great rechush. That was the promise that Hashem fulfilled. If we look later, that's the pasuk we quote in the Agada. If we look later on in Sefer Shmos, in Parshas Bo, when the promise was actually fulfilled, what happens? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Remember the pasuk? Daber na. Hashem tells Moshe, please tell the Jews to go take the rechush from the Egyptians. So Chazal asks, what's the please? Wait, if somebody has to say, oh, please take $10 million, please. If somebody has to ask you to take it. So what does Chazal say? Haimo you moasim? Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, please take, because I want to make sure that Avram Avinu, you know, Avram's going to check up on me if they went out with the rechush. So ask Rav Zalman Saraskim, Azayim LaTorah, why do they need it to be convinced? Why? Of course, take the rechush. Says the Azayim LaTorah, the answer to this question, we did not understand until the 20th century. We couldn't understand this until the 20th century. What does he mean? German reparations. Major machlokes, even within my own family. Machlokes. What Holocaust survivors felt like. Should they take money from the Germans or not? Should they take the hashkafa of Ratzachta v'gam Yarashta, as it says in Navi? They murdered us and they should steal from us? At least they should give us some money. Give us the billions and trillions of dollars that they took from us. Or others felt, I'm not touching that blood money. I'm not going near it. What, they're going to get a feeling that they had a kapara? I'm not going near that money. So that's what happens, and we know in our generation, some took and some didn't. It's different in emotions. Says Rav Zalman Saraskin, it must have been the same thing in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, they threw their babies into the river. What does Hashem say? Go take their money. Take their money? I'm not touching it. Or others say, you bet I'm taking it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I cannot be mitzaveh them to take the rechush. Because I understand both sides. I understand why some of them might not want to take. And they can't take. I can't be mitzvah them. But you know what? Daber na. I'm asking please because you know what? I promised their Zayda. I promised Avram Avinu. So daber na. If they don't want to, it's okay. B'daber na basnei ha'am. Please. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu understands the human psyche and the human emotions, and he's never mitzavah something that's too hard. And that's impossible. Derachecha darchi noah. Okay, that's his thought on rechush, and that's what we say in Baruch Shomer. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the rechush. Okay, now we cover the matzahs, and we lift up the cup. V'hi she'amda l'avoseinu v'lanu. Many, many different answers. What is the v'hi she'amda? We mentioned in the past, maybe v'hi stands for Shisa Sidrei Mishnah, Chamishichum Shei Torah, Seres HaDibras, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one v'hi. The Meshachachma v'hi, we pick up the coast. The coast wine symbolizes all the halachas that keep us separate from the Goyim. Stam Yenom Yainesach, we lift up the coast v'hi. It's all these halachas that have kept us apart. V'hi Shem Dalavosein of Alanu. Another idea is mentioned, if you look in the next page, page 23, from the Otzer Mefarshi Haggadah. It's from the big, as they're called, the green monsters on different Masechtas, the green Otzer Mefarshi HaTalmud. Various Masechtas, they also have Otzer Mefarshi HaHaggadah. So they have a compilation of many of the different Rishonim and Achronim. So they quote there, a continuation of Yisha Amda, Shevachol Dov, Radar, every generation, they stand upon us to destroy us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aslinim Yadav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, says the Abu Draham in the Rishonim, the Yesha Pirshu, on the left side, Shekdei Laharos Hashkachaso B'Yisrael, Mekim Lohem B'chol Dor Oivim, Umatzelos HaMiyada. Even though it seems a little backwards, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows that He still loves us is by giving us tzaris. By giving us tzaris and keeping us alive through the tzaris. And helping us flourish at various times. If we would just be cruise control, nothing happening to us. We would just be on some tiny little island in Africa. And nothing, nobody bothers us, nothing. How would we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us? How would we know He's being mashgiach on us? It's only because we have had the most unusual, if you could call it that, history. Unique history, unlike any other nation. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin says, more than any other miracle that ever took place to the Jewish people, is the miracle that the Jewish people are still here. And whenever he thinks about it, he quotes, it's not Dhamma to his sitter, but he quotes it in the left column. He goes, Chai Hashem, I swear, Kshani Mizbonein B'nei Shalkiyam Ha'uma, when I think of the Jewish people are still here, Shakul Be'ena Yoser Mi'etiyas Mitzrayim, V'chal Anisim Sha'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, greater than any other Neis Hashem ever did, a constant nes that continues in every generation. Rachmanel Islam, if we look at how much more do we think about Hashem loves us? Every time we open up a radio, open up anything that we don't be on the radio anymore, computer, right? Every nation hates us. Every country thinks we're crazy. People can murder us and they blame us. Right, they blame us. It's your fault. You put a brick in the ground. They can murder you. It's crazy. Right, but it's every generation. Kodesh Baruch Hu Maslin Miyadam. Said Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, that should give us inspiration. Am Levadad Yishkon. We're alone. We've always been alone. Even if we think in certain generations, this is the way we are. We have a friend with a capital F upstairs. Kodesh Baruch Hu Maslinu Miyadam. That tsaris, ironically, and in a backwards way, really bring out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. V'hi she'amda. Moving right along, we get to the psukim, starting off with Selamad. Selamad, what, check, what? Love and Harami tried to do Yaakov to Yaakov Avinu. Shapar lo gazar al-Zacharim, Par only wanted to get rid of the males, and Lavan wanted to get rid of everything. Various tzaddikim we've quoted in the past, how Lavan wanted to get rid of everything. We've quoted some Harifus Pshatim, I think last year or 2 years ago, we quoted one about love and trying to be poisoned the shliach. Think back, so he wouldn't be able to marry anybody. Say Laman, my bikish love and Arami. But what do we say? What's the pasuk? We quote Shneimar Arami Ovid Avi. Very unclear. Look at the Mefarshim on Chumash. What does this phrase mean? Arami Ovid Avi. So you could translate it as an Aramean Ovid Avi. An Aramean was lost my father. Who's the Aramean? Who's my father? Very hard to understand. Says Rav Avram Shor, second one of the night. Isa b'svar makdoshim, Lavan symbolizes, as Chazal say, Hu HaSatan, Hu HaYetzahara, Hu HaLavan. What do you mean, Bikash Lakar Sakol? It's the Yetzahara, it's the evil forces that try to distance us. Bikash Lavan Arami, Lasos, Liakov Avinu. What did he want to do to Yaakov, to Bnei Yaakov, to Bnei Yisrael, in every generation? What did he try to do? He tries to uproot everything. How do you uproot everything? How do you uproot everything that a Jew stands for and believes in? Arami, the Aramean, Lavan, Oved Avi. He's trying to lose, he's trying to cause me to lose the recognition that Avi, that my father's in heaven. He's trying to break that relationship. He's trying to make me not think that I have a father who loves me. That's the worst. When a Jew feels like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not with him, Hester Panim, that's the worst. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. And especially, we quoted a few years ago from Rav Schwab. Why do we dafka use the word HaMakom when we go to a Shivakol, HaMakom Yenachem Eschem, why dafka HaMakom? Because when a person feels so distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he just lost a relative, there's so much darkness, we say HaMakom Yenachem Eschem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is everywhere. Don't get so misyayish. Because that's the worst. If a Jew would feel that he doesn't have Avi, then he would just throw everything away. Arami Ovid Avi. That's Lakaras Akol. When we lose that connection, when we lose that feeling, we ended off, if you remember 6 months ago, we ended off Shabbos Shuva with another idea of his. Rav Avram Shor, the Medrash tells us that Adam and Cain met each other on the street. And Adam sees Cain, and Cain's smiling. And Adam says, what are you smiling about? Cain's like, I did tshuva. Adam's like, really? I didn't know you could do tshuva. And then she continues that Cain taught Adam about the concept of tshuva. Answer Rav Shor. What did Cain know that Adam didn't know? What did Cain have that Adam didn't have? Says Rav Shor, Cain had a father. If you have a father, you always know there's somebody to come back to. That's the difference between Cain and Adam. If you have an Abba to come back to, Bikesh Lavan Lakaras Akol, the second that we feel that we don't have a father, then forget it, there's nothing to come home to. That's the basis of everything. Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu. That's the basis. Okay, a couple more ideas for the night. So these are all the psukim. We've discussed various psukim in the past, but at the end of the psukim, we have the makas. Psukim lead into the makas. So by the Makos, we know that even though, one of the most fascinating ideas in all of the Torah, even though the Makos was staring at Paro in the face, he wouldn't budge. In the first couple of Makos, he didn't even have to have his heart hardened, right? He did it himself. How could somebody be so thick, so stubborn? His whole nation is dying out. He's a firstborn. It happened 9 times already. He doesn't think it could happen 10 times. Doesn't think so. How could he be so stubborn? Asks Rav Dessler on page 25. Says Rav Dessler, you find this in another Gemara. You find this in another Gemara. The Gemara says in Erev and Adaf Yutes, Rishaim afilu al pischo shal Gehenim einam chozrim b'tshuva. Rishaim, even at the door of Gehenim, they're looking down into the fires. They don't do tshuva. They don't do tshuva in the Olam HaEmes. They're staring at Gehenim. They're not doing tshuva. Why did they do tshuva? It's about time that they did it. Just like Paro. It says of Dessler, there are two things. There are two ideas. There's knowledge, and there is what he calls this yediya and she'ifa. Translated as knowledge and striving, direction. Dvarim nefradim heim, it's two different things. A person can know that what they're going to eat is bad for them, but they are going to eat it anyway. The knowledge and the action and the striving and the attitude are two different things. If I haven't changed my direction, and I haven't changed my attitude about something, so then I'm not going to control myself, even though I know it. I like to give the mashal. Why is it that if we're fleishik, we have no problem not eating something milchik? But if we're on a diet, it's so much harder. Why can't we just say we're fleishik? Why can't we have that attitude? Why? Oh, it's not just because, you can eat in 6 hours. It's not just that. It's because when halacha tells me something, the attitude is, I follow halacha. That's it. I'm a halachic person. But by a diet, okay, what's the big deal? This is I know it, but Yediyah and Sheifa are very different. If somebody doesn't make sure that their Sheifos are in the proper direction, if their attitudes are warped, that it doesn't matter what they see in front of their eyes, it's not going to change their behavior. If somebody in Olam Hazeh doesn't make themselves, if we don't make ourselves into people who strive to do the right thing, who strive to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, then even a pischo shel gehenim you can't change. Because in this world is when we create ourselves. Right? This world is Doma L'Prizdar. This is when we do, this is Mishatarach Be'erev Shabbos Yochav Shabbos, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah. So we have to make sure we're not perfect, but we have to make sure our she'ifos, what are we striving for? What are our goals in life? That's what we have to make sure. But that's why a person who doesn't do that, apislo shel gehenim, doesn't change. Paro, so what that he had the idea? His she'ifa was to kill the Jews. His she'ifa was to be mishabed then. That was his she'ifa. So even if he could have the idea right in front of him, it's not going to change his behavior. That's what you get. Every time a dam, and he didn't listen. Svardeya, everyone. He didn't listen. Kinam, Arab, Devershkin, all of them. We have to realize that, and we have to think about ourselves to make sure that we have the proper frame of mind, the proper perspective. Okay. After the Makkos, we have Dayenu. Dayenu, we quoted. Why is there so many Dayenus? Just say the last paragraphs. We quoted just many times. So I like to quote it. So always, you need the longer Divrei Torah, you need the one-liners, depending on your Seder. You need to, sometimes you have those 30 seconds to get something in. And sometimes those are even more effective. Because you're like, oh, very nice. Well, sometimes the two, three-minute ones, when everybody's sleeping, by the time we ask the question, you know, they're looking into their own Haggad to try to think what they're going to say for the next paragraph. Right? We have to try also, it's also maybe an Avas Chinam. We should try to listen to everybody at the Seder, not just like interested in what we're saying. One of my Talmidim say, well, so you're Seder, you probably have so much. I hardly talk at the Seder. You know, I just sit there. I do my talking before the Seder. But, okay. Anyway, so Dayenu. Why Dayenu? So, why everyone? So, the Mashal is given, you know, if a child comes home from school with a project, the parent says, wow, great project, beautiful. Goes back to what he's doing, that's one level of recognition. The parent says, what a project, I see the red and the blue and you folded this over and the you made this so nice. That recognition is much more meaningful for a child. You go into details. If you're at somebody's house for Shabbos, everything was amazing. No. The potato kugel hit the spot. And the deli roll was... The more details we give, the more hakara it is. Hashem, thank you for the mun. Thank you for Shabbos. Thank you for the Torah. Thank you for splitting the sea. So every single thing, that's the greatest hakara. That's Dayenu. Everyone, Ilo Tianu. So one of the questions, one of the lines of Dayenu is, we're not going to talk about Har Sinai and Torah this time. Actually, maybe we will. The second one. But the first one, we'll talk about, see what time it is. If Hashem would have given us the man and not given us Shabbos, Dayenu. What is that supposed to mean? What is the connection between the man and Shabbos? Okay, the man fell double on Friday. If he would have given us the man and not Shabbos, it would have been enough. Is there any connection between the man and Shabbos? There is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Samachay. Obviously, there is a connection, but what exactly does that mean? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samachay, tells of a conversation between Turnus Rufus HaRasha and Rabbi Akiva. Va'av she'elo zu shal Turnus Rufus HaRasha Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo, ma yomi yomayim. Answer this Rufus Rabbi Akiva. Why is Shabbos so special? Ma yomi yomayim. What makes Shabbos unique? Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva answers him. Ma gever mi guvrin. What makes you so special? What makes you such a special general? Amar le, demari tzavi. The master commanded. I mean, God made me a general. So, Shabbos not me, Mari Tzavi. He says, okay, Shabbos made Shabbos. Hashem made Shabbos special. Amar Lei said, no. This is what I'm asking you, Rabbi Akiva. Mi yeimar de ha'idna Shabbosa. Who says that today is Shabbos? What is he asking? But what's the answer first? Amar Lo, Rabbi Akiva answers, Nahar Sambatyon Yochiach. The river Sambatyon will be Mochiach. Baal Ov Yochiach. The Baal Ov will be Mochiach. A certain type of Avodah Zarah. Kivro Shel Aviv Yochiach. Your father's grave will be Bochiach. Why? Because all of these items in nature do something different on Shabbos. Your father's grave doesn't smoke on Shabbos. Turnus Rufus. That's how we know. The Sambation River acts differently on Shabbos. That's the answer. Say, Amar Leh, he answers him, Bizito Beshito Kilato. You've embarrassed me, you've disgraced me. Okay. What was the question? What was the answer? Well, how do you know today's Shabbos? Says the Margolius Hayam on this Gemara. Turnus Rufus is saying, every other event in Jewish history, every other holiday in Jewish history, you understand why they do it. You know what? Because it happened to the Jewish people, and they were all around, and it happened to a large number of people. So you know it's a true Masorah. You see, it's Mitzrayim, millions of people. Maimon Har Sinai, Ananei HaKavod, Purim, Hanukkah, it happened in public. Where were any of you by Maisa Bracious? How do you know? How do you know you got the right day? That's what Turnus Rufus is asking. Because everything else, you know you got the right day, the date of the calendar. Because so many people, it's been a Masorah. You have no Masorah for Maisa Bracious, right? That goes way back. Nobody was around. You don't have a Masorah for that. How do you know you got the right day? What does he answer him? Right, that's what he says on page 27. Al kol sipurei Torah, yesh eschem Masoris, me'av leben, mikol mashis rachesh. Aval shahayu, mishesh esmi ha'maisa, v'yom ha'shvi. How do you know that? So you know what he answers him? Look at the Bria. Look at the Bria. The Bria acts differently on Shabbos. The Bria acts differently on Shabbos. How do you know? He adds in the Mun. The Mun also happened to millions of people. And that acted differently on Shabbos. That's how we know we got the right day. If Hashem would have given us the Mun and not given us Shabbos, we would have already known Shabbos. Because the Mon acts differently, just like the Sambation and the Kevershel, his father. That's the connection, says the Margolius Hayam, the last line of that paragraph. V'zeu sh'amar v'agodesh al Pesach, ilu echelenu es haman v'lo nazlon es ha-shabbos, v'atzo lomar, me'amon atzmo, ayinu yichol modas, ma-shabbos, ma-yom mi-yomayim, yom mi-yomayim hucha. We would have known it, even without the tzivui of Shabbos, we would have known the special quality of Shabbos. Okay, Dayan, two final thoughts as we get through Magid. Okay, one more thought. Again, maybe we won't say this one. Actually, we'll say it quickly. The Rabbi Lau on the last page 28, just leave room to add in one more thought also. You'll write it on top. Rabbi Lau writes in his Haggadah on the, probably the most famous question on Dayenu, what do you mean, given us the brought us to our Sinai, not given us the Torah? So, most Haggadahs give the answer of Achdus. Let's get the answer of Achdus. V'yichad Shav Yisrael, we all came together, Achdus. But the Rabbi Lau says that, but he expands on it. And that is, the whole process coming to Kabbalah Satorah was a process of learning Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. So we know there are 48 ways of Torah's nicknames with them. The Gemara says, Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, so many of them have to do with behavior. It's all Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Each one of those is parallel to one of the days of Svira, as we're starting, Be'ez Hashem, in another week, starting to count Svira. Says Rabbi Lau, the whole process from Pesach to Shavuos was a Bechina of Hachana in the world of Derech Eretz. Before you get to Torah. Torah only comes later. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, that if you would have brought us to Har Sinai, if you would have done the entire process of coming close to Har Sinai, the entire process of Derech Eretz, that would have been enough, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. So once heard from Rabbi Pelkovitz, that just like we have a name for the Shabbos before Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol, and Shabbos Shuva, and Shabbos Chazon, Shabbos before Shavuos, Shabbos Derech Eretz. I don't know what his source was, but that's what he suggested. But the entire process, Kervanot V'Yasiv L'Nasal HaNasat Torah. Two more ideas. One new one, I think, and one just to review, which is a end off with a tefillah. Right after Dayenu, we go into the Hallel. We go into the Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, Pesach Matzah and Maror, the three mitzvahs leading into Hallel. Lefichach Adonai Chayavim Laholdos Hallel Shaveh Lafar. We see the two paragraphs of Hallel. We have all those paragraphs. Question: Laholdos LaHallel LaShaveh LaFar LaRomeim. Why are there so many words in the Hebrew language to praise God? How many ways could you say praise in English? Praise, Lord, compliment. I mean, we have so many words. Why are there so many words? We praise Hashem at the end of Magid. Lahodos, lahalos, shabeach, lefodor, lanatzeach, lebarach, lalakalis. And we can't even do it all. I'll call the Yeshivas Mishpachas. So I once heard an answer. You know how many words Eskimos have for snow? Every type of snow they have a different word for. It's amazing. Many, many words for snow. You know how many words Italians have for pasta? Just go to a dairy restaurant. Fettuccine, ravioli, macchiatini, all these different types of... You just go to that, you got your, all the different shapes. And all that. There are so many Italian words. What's the message? How many words do the French have for romance? Just think about every country. The message is, there are so many words to say something that's meaningful to you. And that makes you who you are. Eskimos are all about snow. So they have so many, every nuance, every new way of looking at snow and every type of everything is, that's why there are so many words. Italians are all about pasta. Right? Or pizza. A lot of words for pizza too. Because that's their mahus. A Jew's mahus is to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every lahodos, lahalu, l'shabeyach, lafar, by the end of the Seder, we're saying them all. By the end of Pesukah the Zimra, we're saying them all. Because that's what we're all about. That's what makes us who we are. And that's the goal of the Seder. We said, the beginning from the Nesim Shalom, this night is like Yom Kippur. We wear the kitzel at the beginning. We say the Shana Babi Yushalayim at the end. It's kol chamira, kol nidre. We can reach those levels, all different ways of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's all about. And just to end with a tefillah, which this is a thought we've mentioned before, but if you haven't heard it, hasn't been in a couple of years, it's on Shvo Chamascha. Right, don't try to say this at Shvo Chamascha, at that time of night or morning, usually, even though you're trying to say it, you can say it at the meal. Question that Rav Warman asks, the Sheiris Yosef, Shvo Chamascha l'gayim shelo yada'ucha, cast your wrath on the gayim which do not know you. Agada here, let me just get the... So the language of the Agada at the end, when we open the door, cast your wrath on the other nations, and all the kingdoms that didn't call in your name, because they ate up Yaakov, they're eating up Yaakov, so the Rav Warman asks, why is it all in Lashon? I mentioned this in the daf a couple of weeks ago. Why is it that all of the Lashonos are Lashon Rabin? Cast your wrath on the Goyim, Asher lo yida'ucha, and on the kingdoms that didn't call you, Kara'u, and then all of a sudden, Ki Achal es Yaakov. They eat Yaakov, but it's he, Achal, not Achlu es Yaakov. Why does it switch to the singular? So Rav Warman quotes Rav Meir Shapiro, who talks about a Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. The Gemara tells us there that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving the Torah to Am Yisrael, by Maamar Har Sinai, all the nations of the world didn't know what was going on. And they came to Bilam, and they said, Bilam, what's happening? Is there another Mabel? And Bilam says, no. Hashem said there's never going to be another Mabel. So they said, maybe he promised no Mabel of water. Maybe there's going to be another Mabel of fire. So the Bilam says, no. He promised no Mabel. Don't worry, Hashem's just giving the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. Hashem owes la'amo yitain. They say, really? Wow. Hashem yivarach zamo v'shalom. That's the Gemara. Here's Rav Meir Shapiro. What's going on here? Why did they think that there was a Mabel? A Mabel? What does a Mabel have to do with Maamar Har Sinai? Says the Meir Shapiro, the Umos HaOlam saw that there was Achdus in the world. They saw Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. And they only understand one type of Achdus. There are really two types of Achdus. But they only understand one type of Achdus. Achdus out of a common enemy. Out of a shared tzara. Out of Ein Breira. By the Mabel, all the animals became friends. How'd they become friends? Ein Breira. You want to survive? You don't eat each other. You go on the teva together. So they saw the Achdus. They said, what's going on here? Is there a tzara? Is there a tragedy that's going to happen? Right? The whole world was friendly with each other after 9/11. But why? Because it's Achdus Midot Tzaris. So they said, what's going on here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the Torah. What is Bilam answer? You don't understand. There's a second type of Achdus. There's an Achdus that's based on common goals. There's an Achdus based on a shared vision. There's an Achdus that's based future focused, not based on its Tzara. That's the Achdus of the Torah. But Yisrael, v'yichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. That's the Achdus of the Torah. That's what they didn't understand. Says Rav Warman, cast your wrath, you know why? Because when it comes to destroying the Jewish people, when it comes to that, all the nations of the world can come together. All the Arabs hate each other. When it comes to Israel, ki achalas Yaakov. When it comes to eating up Yaakov Avinu, they could all be one. Because that's their type of Achdus. That's their type of Tzaris. Their type of Achdus comes from Tzaris. Come from ridding the world of something. But our tefillah, when we say this, after the Seder, looking outside, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on this special night, please bring us the other type of Achdus. We'll hope, try our best. Ki achalas Yaakov. We'll try to have that Achdus. But we'll try to have the Achdus of the Torah. Starting tomorrow night, we say, we're counting down. We're having the Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. So please, Arami Ovid Avi, he tried to get rid of that recognition. But we know he's Avi. And we know that right now we might be on the level of a Chai. We might be on the level that we can only eat domains and somchin. Because we didn't leave Mitzrayim yet. We didn't get the Torah yet. But 49 days from now, from tomorrow night, we have to realize that the ultimate Achdus is coming. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should. Benisa Nigal, Benisa Asid Den Lehigal.